Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are a positive taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road beginning next week. Sometimes you go into a place and you're like, give me double cakes, two crack. It gets a little expensive these days, especially if they're making them big the way they do over Coco's. But we're going to do like double duty. We're going to do double crab cake tours later on in the month because it's Thanksgiving and pumpkin pie and good football. The Ravens are 6-2. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years, as well as Jiffy Lube, MultiCare, locations everywhere, in and out, nice and quick. That's the way they do it there as well. This week is kind of special because it's the end of the baseball season. I knew it was a special week when I woke up on Sunday morning and I had to re-remember that the Houston Oilers were coming back out of the closet. And it sounded like a good idea until I saw Oilers all over the Tennessee field. And then it made me itch a little bit. But Luke Jones joins us now. We're going to talk some sports here. We talked a lot of football. We've talked trading deadline. We talked Ravens offense. But there's other things going on in the league, certainly with that Oiler jersey. I think you had more to say about that. I know I did as well. As well as it's been a week since we got together the Phillies were going to the World Series. What happened, dude?
The bats went asleep. But hey, credit the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we'll talk about the World Series. But yeah, I think we focus so much on the Ravens and inconsistency. Or okay, they look great against Detroit. They didn't look as great against Arizona. They're 6-2, and they're 4-1 on the road. They're in good shape. And then when you look around at the rest of the league, and you realize, you know, even the other teams that you view as contenders, it's choppy. It's a week-to-week league. It's weird. For every signature game or statement game, there's a lot that goes on a week-to-week basis that you forget about in a matter of a week or two or 3 weeks. But, you know, I think that's where, you know, we already talked about the trade deadline, but, you know, you look at the landscape of the AFC, just for example, where, okay, you got four teams that are 6-2, but Buffalo's 5-3, and people have been down on them, but they look like maybe the best team a month ago. You know, they get a Thursday night win. I mean, you've already mentioned how your disdain, and not just your fan disdain, but how mediocre to bad Pittsburgh and Cleveland looks. Well, they're still in playoff spots right now. So what does that tell you in the context of talking about the trade deadline? We could talk about these teams being sellers, but there are teams that are right there. You know,
well, if you don't have a quarterback, why aren't you a seller? You know what I mean? Like, it's very obvious. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback they can rely on. And even if that kid gets on the field, to think that he's going to be a world beater in this system. Like, the Redskins, Commanders running around with this guy that, I mean, look at the Giants situation. And thoughts for our friend Tyrod Taylor, who I know we both have a great fondness for Tyrod. I saw him at the Super Bowl a year and a half ago. He looked great, and he's back in the league. He gets a chance to play and then winds up in the hospital. So, I mean, the quarterback position, when I said to you there might be 12 teams, you're like, there's not 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah, in terms of teams that can – but you got to remember, not every team's thinking Super Bowl or bust. That's not how this works. I mean, you have teams – there are teams in the league right now that would give their right arm to be the number 7 seed in the AFC or the NFC because they haven't been to the playoffs in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or whatever it might be. So you have to remember that this is all tiered, and – I agree with your overall sentiment, but at the same time, you have teams that say, well, you know what? We're looking for that quarterback, or we're trying to develop our guy, but the best solution for us isn't necessarily to trade away three of our other best players or trade away our two other best players because then what are we doing there? We're just moving further away. So, I mean, there's different ways to view this. And as much as you might have forward-thinking teams that are apt to make more trades, whether we're talking about teams like the Ravens, who have been buyers pretty consistently for 3 or 4 years now at the trade deadline, or whether you have teams that are selling off pieces. And, you know, we saw Tennessee sell off their longtime safety, a week and a half ago. So,
and by the way, to bring back the Oilers jerseys, Kid Levis comes in and plays. That might be the thing that makes Derrick Henry not a Raven or not something else this week, because if you get a quarterback that in a minute, I mean, Brock Purdy, where was he this time last year, right? Like, so, right. I mean, And I guess the weather changes on some of these guys, whether it's Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, these guys that are elite guys don't always look elite either.
Right. I mean, it's, the difference between 3-4 and 4-3 is one game, but that's that one game separating being, we're talking about teams like Tennessee. Oh, maybe they should be a seller. They're one game out of the final playoff spot. And again, if you buy into the allure of Will Levis, and look, he played a great game, but it's his first game. I think if you're looking at a big picture standpoint, if I'm in the front office for the Titans, I'm probably not drastically changing how I view the trade deadline today compared to how I viewed it last Thursday, for example. But we also know teams, we talked about this with the Angels in baseball this past trade deadline. Look at what they decided to do and how much of a disaster that turned out to be.
Well, the
So,
complexity when you are a bad team that's 3-4 that's never done anything. Let's call it what it is. The Tennessee Titans, as just as an example of this, got an owner that's half crazy, already bringing out old markings that don't mean anything to Tennessee to sell stuff, right? You've got a fan base that's sort of indifferent, or a college football fan base for a lot of these. Tampa, Atlanta, Jacksonville's good this year, but in those places where people their attention span goes to some other place, throwing the towel in is different for the general manager, for the head coach, for the young players on the team, or even the veteran players on the team. But it always does come down to ownership at this point, right? Like, and which way the wind is blowing with your ownership.
yeah, and I mean, a sport like football, we've also seen that teams can turn around really quickly. I mean, and maybe this isn't the best time to say this because we're currently watching a World Series in which you have two teams that lost 100 games plus 2 years ago. So maybe it applies in other sports. But in the NFL, I mean, you're one really good draft away from turning things around, even if you're pretty lousy right now. So at the same time, you have teams that, they're reluctant to move on from players because they have, unrealistic demands from ownership or a head coach and a general manager that are saying, you know what, sneaking in as, even if we don't have a shot in, you know what, and winning the Super Bowl, sneaking in as the number seven seed in the AFC or the NFC probably gets us another year with our jobs.
Well, how
So
about this?
again,
Give it. How about
there's
the
a
Jets on
wide.
that? How about the Jets on that? Right, like they're 4-3. They stink, probably, right? They're 4-3, and they're rarely 4-3. So that they're a buyer when they're 4-3, even though the quarterback's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think the Jets stink. I think their quarterback stinks, but when your quarterback stinks, that's gonna,
You stink.
you basically stink as, but they're 4-3. So again, it's easy to point at a team like the Cardinals and say, okay, Cardinals selling. I don't know if they have a whole lot to sell at this point, but sellers. Carolina, sellers. Patriots at this point at 2-6. Crazy to say it because it's Bill Belichick, but sellers, or they should be at least.
How about
So,
Indianapolis when you have a crazy owner who runs across glass to bring the running back in when it's too late?
Not just that, but also their top five quarterback that they drafted out for the year, who, he showed some promise early on, but also got knocked out of three games because of injuries, and kind of the has played out in the way that people feared Lamar Jackson would, at the beginning of his career. I mean, he actually was getting hurt and getting knocked out of games with regularity, talking about Anthony Richardson, of course. So, you look at those teams at the bottom and okay, those are easy decisions to make. I mean, they clearly should be looking to move veteran players who have an expiring deal. If you can get a fifth round pick in next year's draft or get a fourth round pick 2 years from now or whatever,
Well,
whatever
that's
the
a lot of
deal
teams,
is.
dude. Washington, the Giants, the Packers, the Bears, the Panthers, the Rams, the Cardinals, they're all done. I mean, literally, that's a lot of teams and a lot of players that we're focused on Derrick Henry or a pass rusher. I think there's going to be movement just on that basis alone, that there is desperation, and inspiration to some degree at this point, right?
Yeah, but I'll go back. Look at Minnesota, who is done now because Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles. They're the number seven going into Monday Night Football. They're the number seven seed at 4-4. So
They're a
you're saying
Case
teams that
Keenum
are
away
three.
from 10 wins.
But I'm just you're talking about some you're lumping some teams in there and saying they're done. And I agree that they're done in the sense that I don't view them at all as a Super Bowl contender. But those teams are still in the wild card race. So This is what happens when you expand the playoff field, and that's why I'm always, and I've talked about this a lot with baseball the last couple of years since we've expanded and had a third wild card team. I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the World Series after winning 84 games. Think about that. So the
You
Orioles win
do have these
84
teams
games
next year. We're going to burn the city down, right?
but they might be in the World Series if they're the number six team and they get right or they get hot at the right time. I mean, so look, there are lots of teams that should operate certain ways, and we see all the time that they don't. So that's where all those teams that you just mentioned, I'm not convinced some of those teams that you just mentioned truly consider themselves finished to the point where they're going to sell off players. Again, it's easy to talk about Arizona. They're 1-7. It's easy to talk about Carolina. They're 1-6. But for those teams that are, even 3-5, let alone 4-4 or 3-4, they're it doesn't take much for individuals who are desperate, who are trying to save their job, who don't have the long-term job security that you've mentioned that an Eric DaCosta or a
Who
John
aren't making
Harbaugh
that
or a Mike
third-round
Tomlin.
draft pick next year anywhere.
Right. But so they have those teams that are saying, let's, and that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily be buyers either, but you'll have some teams that'll say, let's let this play out a little bit more. So I don't know. I mean, we're still in relatively new territory for the NFL to be much more of an active trade deadline after that being a punchline for years. I mean, I remember when the Ravens acquired, I mean, Eugene Monroe was 10 years ago now. That was a point in time where when there was a blockbuster move, and that wasn't a blockbuster, but that was a notable move, a former first round pick for Jacksonville getting dealt, and the Ravens, defending Super Bowl champs, trying to salvage a disaster of an offensive line at the time. But back then, when there was a blockbuster move, I mean, that blew you away. You were shocked. Now you almost expect it, a couple of those. I mean, we saw it last year with McCaffrey going to San Francisco and how crazy that was after he had, Carolina had viewed him as the franchise, so to speak.
Well, they, for all these sports,
So,
they've
it
been trying
happens
to
and it
massage
happened.
it most of the year, 30 years I've been on the radio, where there were times where the NBA trading deadline meant more, meant less based on the salary cap and draft picks and where that league has gone. Hockey, always tons of deals, and it's always fringe third and fourth line guys that wind up playing in June with a beard, and you're like, holy hell. I mean, how did they know they needed a left wing on their third line? Football's different, and I think football was always different than, oh, we're going to buy a pitcher, he's going to come in and just pitch, or we're going to buy a center fielder and he's going to play center field, he knows the position. Talk about bringing Derrick Henry in and having him run around, having him learn your offense and your cadence and the sleight of hand of Lamar, like all that stuff you want to work on as a team. It's hard to plug and play, which is why the Roquan Smith thing last year really speaks to what a special football player he is.
And I think a running back, and maybe the in the Ravens offense, because they do so much mesh point stuff with some zone read and obviously RPOs, things like that, it is a little bit different. But for the most part, that's one of the positions where you would say the learning curve is on the easier end. Whereas, you trade a quarterback, and there had been talk, and obviously it's a moot point now, but there'd been so much discussion on whether the Vikings were going to consider moving Kirk Cousins. Now, they said they weren't going to, but had they, that would have been fascinating to see that. I mean, and we've seen some quarterbacks here and there move during the regular season, but that's typically an off-season thing that happens. But it is interesting in terms of the learning curve. I mean, wide receivers. I think, I made mention when we talked about the trade deadline, as much as there's focus on running backs, whether it's a Derrick Henry, Zach Moss, I mean, the Giants say they're not trading Saquon Barkley, of course, but is there a move to be made for the Ravens to upgrade at, say, left guard, for example? John Simpson's been fine. He hasn't been great, far from it. Is there a move to be made that's a little more off the radar that you don't have to give up a whole lot, but you think, hey, this would make us better at left guard, and that's going to make Gus Edwards better. That's
Give
going to
me
make
another
Justice Hill
Kevin
better.
Zeitler on the other
So,
side or another Morgan Moses,
yeah,
right?
exactly. Exactly. Or, someone that might have a year left on his deal, and we know that Kevin Zeitler is going to be a free agent and he's not getting any younger, and Morgan Moses isn't getting any younger. So again, there are different ways to look at this thing. And that's where I think the Ravens specifically, but any team that's in this conversation,
you'd rather be in a position where you don't feel like you need to make a move, but there are certainly moves you can make to improve. Whereas you rarely want to be in a position where you're acting out of desperation, right? And that's where I think these teams that are 3-5, you know, with a GM or a head coach that's on the hot seat, or a team that's 4-4 that, yeah, they're sitting right there a half game out of the final wild card spot in their conference. But, you know, that's where you don't want to make a foolish move. And that, you know, that's where, you know, going back to just Derrick Henry as an example, would Derrick Henry make 25 different teams, 26 different teams running game better? Probably more than that. Yes. Does that mean you should give up a second round pick for him? Or does that mean a number of teams out there should give up a third round pick to rent Derrick Henry? No, that would be foolish for a lot of teams to do that. So, you know, it comes back to fit, comes back to how healthy you are, comes back to where you are next year in terms of, you know, the salary cap, draft picks. I mean, you've mentioned for the Ravens talking about, you know, where they are. You know, I would almost say because they have some dead money on next year's cap because of the void years they did this year in a number of their deals, because they're in a position that, yeah, you have a premium top shelf quarterback that you're paying now, and you've got some other guys, you know, yeah, you want to try to make a move to make yourself better now, but at the same time, you don't want to do anything that's going to derail you next year or the year after that either. So, you know, it's all of this is a fine balance, right? And there's a wide, you know, there's a wide gap between going all in and having a fire sale. And all these teams that are kind of in the middle, you know, they're trying to figure out what exactly they want to do. And teams like the Ravens or the Chiefs, you know, you tell me the Chiefs couldn't use a running or the Bills couldn't use a running back like Derrick Henry, you know. So, I mean, it's fascinating. And, you know, ultimately it comes down to, are these teams serious about being sellers? And what I mean by that is, they're actually going to accept a reasonable deal, or are the Titans dreaming of saying, oh, we'll trade Derrick Henry, but it's going to cost you a first round pick? Well, that means you're not really willing to trade Derrick Henry, right? Because the value would be completely out of whack in terms of renting a
Well, I
running
think
back
in
for two
most
months
cases,
or
when
three
you're
months.
ready to deal a player, you're just going to take the highest bid in the middle of a season. Whatever the highest bid is, that's going to be what the deal is. And if the highest bid on Derrick Henry is a fourth round pick, if nobody's willing to move off of that, then you just say, we'll keep him. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
then that becomes easier. But I think if the best you can do is a third round pick, you probably do that. And if you can get a second round pick because there really is bidding, then you get that too. I mean, and I think these general managers know each other well enough, as we learned in the offseason of whatever the collusion was that involved Lamar Jackson not even visiting another team and being available. As we watch all these turds get rolled out in the NFL and other teams had opportunity to get him, you know, this isn't a wake up Monday morning and learn the market. I mean, George Kikinis, you know, every team has people on this all the time, and the Ravens are at the top of class at all of this, at picking up players when Kyle Van Noy, you know, picking up players when a guy gets injured and they get low on the depth chart, whether it's Arthur Millette, you know, these guys that they wind up going in and finding. And that's part of winning too. I mean, that's been part of both of their championships and every championship from the beginning of time, is how do you add football players after September 1st and fortify your team when your guys get hurt, and whether that comes from development, player personnel, trade, whatever. The league has become much more open to that, and I think it makes it more fun. Certainly more fun when you get
Oh,
Roquan Smith.
it definitely makes it more fun. At the same time, while you're right that there are teams that are using that to their advantage, there are other teams who frankly don't know what they're doing. I mean, look at the Bears last year. Okay, they traded Roquan Smith. You could certainly argue that they should have kept him. You're talking about someone who's 25 years old, but I'll hear that. And look, off-ball linebacker, you and I had this talk and debate about
You wouldn't have
positional
given him the
value and
money,
all
as
that.
you remember, right? That was your.
You know, I mean, I probably would have been a little more reluctant. Sure. And, you know, if I was wrong on that, I was wrong on that. That's fine. Roquan Smith's a great football player. At the same time, the Bears got a second round pick for him. And then what did they do? They go around and flip a second round pick to Pittsburgh for Chase Claypool, who's not even on their team anymore because he stinks that bad. So, you know, there you have a case where the Bears could have made the absolute best out of a bad situation of their own doing with Roquan Smith and how that
how that relationship had disintegrated. But then they go around, they turn around and they trade a second round pick to Pittsburgh, who had to be laughing to get rid of, as much as the Steelers offense stinks, Chase Claypool wasn't, trading him wasn't the reason why, So, you see teams that, they'll make moves and they clearly don't understand how to value players. So, and value's different, Christian McCaffrey, look at the value he's brought to the San Francisco 49ers and how they want to try to play football. Would that be the same for other teams that, don't play the same exact style? Probably not. But, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And, to go back to using Roquan Smith as the example, the Ravens have designed a defense. Mike McDonald has designed a defense that has really placed so much emphasis over the middle portion of the field. And, that's an old principle that Ozzie Newsome had years ago, but it's been reimagined a little bit. It's evolved. It's certainly, because you play defense differently now because it's much more of a passing centric league. But, the Ravens have designed and schemed up a defense where having two off ball linebackers like Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen have carries more value than other teams in how they try to play defense. So, again, it's a moving target. It's all relative. And, we're going to see how this plays out. But just because we sit here and say, well, that team should be a seller, does not mean they're going to do that. And again, in the case of the Angels in baseball this past summer, everyone and their mother was saying they should be sellers. And they did the exact opposite. And they were saying, hey, we're not so bad. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, they were a disaster. And you were looking at that and saying, wow, you're going to lose Shohei Ohtani for nothing now. So, I mean, it's how it sometimes plays out. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this, how this goes down over the next, over the next day or so, and reconvene at the end of the week and see, who's really improved themselves and, who are the teams that maybe stand pat and maybe only made a move that's going to help you on the margins.
All right. So I'm going to have you complete a sentence here. And I don't know where you're going with this, but the 2023 World Series is blank. What is this for you? Because it really is. I hate the Rangers. So I sort of am rooting for the Diamondbacks, even though I like Bochy over the course of time. So, I mean, I'm sort of watching it, but like, even my wife opined. She's like, this is a little.
It's meh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's meh. And you know what? It's more of a systemic thing for me because while it's fun to talk about the – and look, the Diamondbacks, I mean, give them credit. They've gone on a great run here.
Corbin Carroll's fun to watch. Miss Kid Marte.
They've got
play.
Good young players, no doubt. No doubt. At the same time, they won 84 games this year. And for guys like me who – I'm a baseball nerd. I flat out admit it. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who listen and roll their eyes when I'll start citing a certain stat here or there, citing, third time through the order for starting pitchers and why teams operate and use their bullpens the way they do now. But
I hope that's why people listen, by the way.
But the problem with what we're seeing with the Diamondbacks is not 2023 and it happening right now. And the idea that the Diamondbacks might win the World Series. My problem is we are trending in a direction where this is going to continue to happen more and more and more.
What happened in ice hockey all the time over 30 years? The 8 seed would wind up playing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And look, that's great for the postseason itself, right? But what has that done to hockey's regular season? We talk about it all the time.
Yes.
We talk about it in the NBA. The 82, I mean, my gosh, the NBA is trying to spark interest in their too long 82-game season. They are doing a tournament at the beginning of the season for some reason, just because it's going to make for good TV.
By the way, I was sitting at Tacos and Beer on Paradise in Las Vegas at a bar alone, having chips and salsa, and this man and his wife were sitting in the chairs next to me, and he was a Laker, NBA, they're West Coast people. He was trying to explain load management to his wife at the bar before I went to see you two. And I'm just a fly, I didn't say anything. I'm just sitting there listening to him explain, well, they don't want these guys to get tired. I'm like, dude, it's August 25th.
Yeah. That's funny. But so you have that, and baseball more than any other sport, the in day-to-day in-game variance is extremely high. We know that the worst team in baseball plays the best team in baseball and will win, and win somewhat frequently. Now, over the long haul, of course, the better team is going to win more. But when you start to expand your postseason and you're allowing more and more marginal 84, 85, 83 win teams in, which this system is going to do that. And oh, by the way, baseball wants to expand to 32 teams. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but that's going to happen. And you know what's going to happen, what the next logical step's going to be. They're going to structure this and it's going to look more like the NFL. They'll probably go to four team divisions in each league. And what are they going to do then? They're going to have eight teams make, you know, so we're going to go from 6 to 8. That will happen. I don't know if it's going to be.
And we're going to play the World Series when? At Christmas?
I don't know. Or we'll start to see, they'll talk about moving it to a neutral site because that, you know, well, that's what they do at the Super Bowl, right? So, but the point I'm making is in a sport where there is high variance day to day, because there is, the Oakland Athletics were the worst team in baseball this year. They had a 7-game winning streak. That wasn't because they were suddenly great. It's flipping a coin, right? You flip a coin and sometimes you might have a run where it'll land on heads 4 or 5 times in a row. And
if you
on the flip
one
side,
pitcher in the playoffs and you're in a best of five, you can steal a series very easily, right?
And it's not even really stealing. It's just, I mean,
it's baseball.
Oakland won 7 games in a row. The Braves, the Dodgers, and the Orioles, 300-win-plus teams this year, all had 4-game losing streaks. What does a 4-game losing streak equate to in the playoffs? It means you're going home. Heck, first round, the wild card round, you lose two. You have a bad 27 hours, and you're done. So, look, that's if we all acknowledge that and everyone's fine with that, okay. But, boy, that makes me not want to invest nearly as much in the regular season. It makes me not want to – and not me specifically, but general baseball fan. And, you know, for me, the beauty of baseball was the day-to-day of the long 6-month regular season. And look, I'm not anti-postseason, and I like a Cinderella as much as the next person. But you know what? If Cinderella starts to happen every single year, it's not Cinderella anymore. It's just, oh, well, the regular season doesn't mean anything. And then it's just like,
I think we all know this though, Luke. And that's why I beat you up every year. The team's good. You and I've been together 16 years now. We've only had a handful of these years and every year we're good. I start in June by saying, you better win game one. You better win game one. You better win game one. And we saw what happened around here when they didn't win game one.
But at the same time, I guess my point is winning game one, like, I think the thing that bugs me more than seeing an 84 team win or an 84 win team in the World Series is that you see these narratives, and look, I get it. Baseball writers have to write stories, right? But that this team is somehow like this special, they're special. You know, we heard this a lot with the Royals back in 14, right? That they were special and like this team's come together. No, there wasn't some master plan to only be an 84 win team. They got hot at the right time. And I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, like the best team doesn't always win. In fact, quite often the best team doesn't win. And if people are okay with that, then that's fine. But at the same time, it makes me speaking as a baseball fan, it makes me not as invested in why are we playing a 162 game schedule if we're just going to make it more and more of a crapshoot and a coin flip in October, you know. And that doesn't mean I want it to go back to 1954 either, where you just have the best team in the AL and the best team in the NL make the World Series and that's it. But I guess I liked the system the way it had been, you know, which I was okay with going to the second wild card and doing the wild card game, because to me it was, hey, it's a 1-game coin flip. If you don't like it, win your division. And we rewarded the 3 division winners with, hey, they're all in the division round, you know, division series. But now what we have
created, and divisional play was much more located to playing each other at that point, which was not a benefit to the Orioles or the Rays given finances. But what, and some divisions were only a couple of teams, right? We had 4-team divisions and 6-team divisions, right? So, you know, all of that played out to not be as fair if you were in the NL Central, right?
Yeah, but the point I was trying to make is we now have a system where the top two teams are being rewarded with this weird 5 days off. And look, I'm not saying it's an excuse, but it's weird. It's very anti-unbaseball like. I mean, it's just how do you navigate that? And on the flip side, then you have the third division winner who should be rewarded for winning the division, and you're subjecting them to a best out of three, against, and I get it, they're playing at home, but it's best out of three. You lose two games, you're done. I mean, that's again, think about how many teams, the best team in baseball loses how many series every year against good teams, medium teams, and terrible teams. I mean, it's baseball. So I don't like how we've now, I don't like the expansion to the third wild card and the system it's created, where it's made things even more random. And you know what? People like the randomness. And I know Rob Manfred did an interview, prior to game one, last Friday night. And he's okay with it. And you know why? Because the owners love postseason TV money. More and more and more and more postseason, and regular season be damned. We don't care. And that's what it's, oh, but we still want you to come out and buy our 81 game season ticket packages, even if we're finding that those games now are becoming more devalued. Because, well, if you win 100 games, or you win 98 games, or you win 96 games, well, you still, depending on how it shakes out, you still might be subjected to a best of three. So, that's my long way of saying, to answer your original question, nah, nah. I mean, it's because I guess my concern is this is going to continue to happen, and a lot of people might be fine with that, and that's okay. And that's, we'll agree to disagree. I still love baseball. Let's be clear about that. But, I don't love the idea of making it easier for 84, 85, 86 win teams to, be playing in the World Series. And if I'm, if people disagree with me on that,
and if
that's
they
fine.
are playing in the World
That's fine.
Series, it's less compelling by its very nature because they're not a great team. They've just had a couple of good weeks.
Yeah, well, and look, it's still, it's always been about getting hot in October. I mean, like, that's the case, for, that's been the case for Texas, who was, in my mind, at different times this year, I thought they might be the best team in the AL for stretches of this season, even though they finished with 90 wins. But think about, this is how it's changed, though, Nestor. If the Phillies had won game seven or won game six, they played two games in Philadelphia. I mean, they have no one to blame but themselves. But if this had been the
I
Rangers
watched
against,
all the videos. It was fun watching the Phillies fans meltdown. It was good.
But if this had been Rangers against Phillies, think about how the landscape changed. Would anyone have said either of those teams are underdogs, even though it would have been wild card against wild card? No. So it just speaks to how this, the landscape is changing. And now a true underdog is, oh, well, you sneak in as the last wild card and you might have only won 84 games, but hey, great. We love underdog stories. Cinderella, it's like the NCAA tournament, which, great. I mean, if people like that, that's fine. And I'm still watching the World
I
Series. Let's
agree
be
with you.
clear,
You have to
but
tip your cap. You beat the Dodgers. You beat the, you beat the teams that they put in front of you. Good for you. Good for your fan base. Good for your franchise. But is it really good for baseball? And I would question that as I sit here and watch a less than compelling World Series.
I mean, it's, and look, it's good for the local markets, and maybe that's the lesson we need to take away from this. And I've argued this point with you a lot, when we've had our debates about the future of baseball, the state of baseball, where it's going, being healthy, viable long term, all those different things.
Well, it's also
It's a very
hyper
re
local. Yeah.
it's a very regional, very local game. So from that standpoint, this might be exactly what they wanted. I mean, the Diamondbacks have been one of those teams that it came up, over the last couple of months in terms of the long-term viability of their ballpark in their mind. Now, whether that's actually how it should be or not, I mean, we've talked about this, and we've talked about here in Baltimore, of course, with the lease,
It's
but
amazing, Arizona, because it's such a baseball community, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I go out there in spring training. It's so much a better experience than going to Florida. And kids play baseball. People talk baseball out there. It's got the weather for it, all of that. And we just saw the Ravens go out to Arizona and play football where it's never really caught on. Although when I was out there for the Super Bowl the last time, I had seen the growth from Buddy Ryan and aluminum benches on 120 degree days at Sun Devil Stadium. But that community is a baseball community They should be a rooted franchise. You know what I mean? They've won a World Series. It reminds me of Miami and Tampa and all these other places where baseball just didn't catch on. And places like here, and you and I will bitch about this a different day, where it's dying and it's trying to be resuscitated. The owner's a clown, and they had tons of empty seats during the best year they could possibly have with the most exciting team they could possibly have. And we haven't talked baseball in 3 weeks here, and I don't know the next time we're going to have an Orioles segment. You know what I mean? Like, really, the Orioles are going to be hot stove, meaning hot, like touch the oven, it's hot. We need to talk about it. I don't know that it ever gets hot here, you know, and we're a real baseball market. They've just failed in a lot of ways, and putting on shizzy World Series is another byproduct of all the problems the sport has had. And they picked themselves up, pace of play, all that stuff. But you put a World Series on that doesn't, on a Monday night, you're making a decision, do I want to watch the Lions play the Raiders? And the Lions
No,
Raiders is
that's
going to
not a
be the
decision
World
for
Series, right?
me.
What's that?
That's not a. That's not a dis. Other people will say that. That's not it. I will absolutely watch the World Series. I mean and some of that is
Well,
it's
we'll
just
check
become
the
habit.
ratings later in the week and see,
Oh,
you know, the
I'm not arguing with you on that, but that's become the NFL's become so dominant that it's just habit viewing at this point. You know, for whether it's a good game or not, people watch it. And
Well,
lots
the
of these games are
savior for
terrible.
baseball will be gambling on it when gambling on the game tonight is as much fun as gambling on the Lions Raiders game. You'll have something because baseball's great. It's a good sport. It's moving faster. But man, if you're
It's
not, to your
fun.
point, if you're not a nerd and you're not into it from the beginning and all that it entails, I say to my wife, getting thrown out of the Ravens is one thing. They only play 3 hours a week. Like, it's the Orioles are a real different kind of commitment from a fan base and
Sure.
where they are for all of baseball asks a lot of all of us. And to put on a World Series that I don't want to bet on, I barely want to watch, and you know, I'll be keeping an eye on the line. And I'm not a gambler, but if I were, or even a fan of the Lions or an NFC fan, whatever it would be, the fact that the World Series can't be more compelling than that. That people are actually going to watch a Chicago Bulls game instead of it or whatever in their local market because baseball's become so hyper local and regional that none of us could name five players on the Rangers or the Diamondbacks before this happened. That's problematic for the sport. It really is.
To a point, and for me, it's not even, you know, my complaint is much more about I want the best teams to be properly rewarded, and I don't want to reward teams that frankly aren't worthy of being in the postseason. And that's more of my point. Look, everything you just laid out kind of applies to every single sport but the NFL. You know, the
But in the
NBA,
NBA, they don't have this problem because the best teams always win in the NBA. And
they
in the
do because that.
NFL, the best teams mostly win. You know, you don't make an argument team gets to a Super Bowl because they were a lucky wild card team and they lucked into going to Kansas City and winning and going to Buffalo and winning or coming to
Right.
Baltimore and winning. That doesn't happen. I mean, you don't feel cheapened by a wild card team in a Super Bowl, I don't think, because you watch them go kick ass for a month, you know?
Yeah, although that conversation, and I don't remember it because I'm too young, but that conversation might have been different in the 80s, though. You know, if you th and some of that is just things are going to evolve, and this is how it works. Look, the playoff field's not getting any smaller at this point. So that ship has sailed. It's going to be a matter of how much bigger it gets.
Does that mean less
So
money? Yeah, we can't do that.
that's going to be more money for MLB because the owners want postseason TV money. You know, and, you know, to me, it's going to come down to this, and I guess inherently, this is kind of where, you know, I'm not kind of been expounding upon this for a little while, but do we need a 162 game season if we're just going to allow more and more teams in the postseason, or do we just need to shorten the regular season and then you start the playoffs the 3rd week of September? You know, I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but I guess that's my point. You know, why do we have this 162 game marathon, this 6 month grind, if we're just going to continue to let more and more teams in? And that's kind of where I hit at. You know, year to year, you're going to have some World Series matchups that just they're not going to resonate. In the same way, we've had some Super Bowls some years that are still wildly popular because everyone watches the Super Bowl, but haven't been exactly the most exciting matchup necessarily. I mean, it's okay to admit that, you know, just because everyone watches it doesn't always mean it's good. So you're going to have that. And that's not, I'm not anti-Arizona. I'm not anti-Dallas, you know, in terms of those markets. It, you know, that's just going to happen. I guess for me, it's just, I don't want to see us continue to reward mediocrity too much in the name of chaos in October, you know, because then it just becomes, you know, what the NCAA tournament is for a lot of people, which is they love the tournament and they'll fill out a bracket, but are they really hardcore college basketball fans? Many of them aren't. So, and I guess for me, I don't want baseball to morph into that, but hey, the owners would say, oh, we'll make more money that way. And, you know, who am I to argue with a bunch of billionaires who are I guess so much smarter than everyone else, I guess.
You know me, I'm always quick to fill out Xavier in the pool, even though I've never seen him play. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. You can also find him on the backfields at Owings Mills all week long. He'll be out there in preparation for all things Seattle Seahawks. They'll put those ugly lime green things back on, those hideous things that they won Super Bowls in, and forego the Jim Zorn, Steve Largent era, although that was a mistake. I thought that was the throwbacks. We'll talk more about that at some point, but the throwbacks are beautiful, but the Oiler thing, and they're my team. I itched a little bit over all of it. So we'll see how that goes. That's enough of the get off our lawn segment with Luke and I today. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to give away some Raven scratch-offs. Our friends at Window Nation and 866-90-NATION also making deals all winter long. And Jiffy Lube MultiCare. The Crab Cake Tour is going to be I'm going to gain weight this month, I think, because we're going to get it out. We're going to be double crab caking in some weeks to stimulate some better conversation. Lots of things going on, man. We're redoing the Inner Harbor. We got this lease situation with the Orioles. I'm going to be talking a lot about that and the Maryland Stadium Authority and what's going on. Wes Moore is going to be joining us, the governor, as well. So we're putting things together. Stay tuned. There's more happening here. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.